It is the final Friday of summer, believe it or not, officially, and we round off our summer Friday panel with two guests in studio, both of whom I think it's fair to say are never shy of a few words or of voicing their opinion, which is what we like on this particular slot. Leslie O'Hara joins us. Leslie is the local area representative, South Leitrim Carrick and Shannon Green Party, former general election candidate, of course, and Kieran Dineen, and I suppose we could loosely refer to you, Kieran, as community activist and campaigner. Would that be fair enough?
Well, I wouldn't say campaigner, Niall.
Not yet, anyway.
No. Well, no, I'm not a campaigner.
Right. Well, welcome both of you to the show, and thanks for joining us. And as a member of the Green Party, Leslie, what are your thoughts? And we've had a lot of reaction this week to the Catherine Zappone appointment. Just to remind people again, Catherine Zappone has been ratified as a special envoy. Freedom of expression within the UN, I think that's the official title. This was a ministerial government appointment at the last cabinet meeting of the year. Is she deserving of the appointment, or what did you make of that?
I think absolutely. My only regret about the Catherine Zappone controversy, which is to do with the fact that she doesn't have any links to the Northwest, as I understand it, because in her time she actually created 1,500 new jobs for disadvantaged women in the West Halla area. And she's just a fantastic individual. As I understand it, she actually suggested the role herself.
Yeah, she did.
And more, and you know, as a former business person, you know, in terms of companies and that, I always gave people their head if they came up with new ideas and new responsibilities. And let's not forget, she is a mate of Joe Biden's. And the idea that she would be wandering the corridors of the United Nations building in New York with dual citizenship, you know, of both Ireland and indeed the States, would be a fantastic sort of benefit to the country.
But what's to stop anybody? Is that just anybody can approach Minister Donoghue? And we're told this morning she approached and put herself forward for the job. I mean, that's not the way it should work, surely. And remember, what's it, 15,000 or 16,000 for the privilege of this position?
Yeah, but it's 15,000 or 16,000 over a 6 month period or whatever.
Yeah.
We're not talking about breaking the bank in the overall scale of things. I'm not sure if there's many people, you know, that would have the actual attributes for the job that would be willing to work for that sort of money. And yeah, I'd say that that's really just a stipend in terms of covering her expenses.
So you don't see anything wrong with her appointment whatsoever?
Don't get me wrong. I think processes should be in place in relation to public appointments. But I think this was incredibly special. And I think, you know, if Mother Teresa offered herself, you know, to the Irish government or whatever, I don't think that we would have actually turned it down in the past.
Hmm. That's an interesting take. I don't suppose you're going to agree with that, Kieran.
No, Niall. It's actually €300 a day she's on, and plus expenses. This is a woman that already has a ministerial pension, and I believe it's going to cost over €200,000. So it is far between the whole lot. And okay, she made the job for herself. She lost her seat, so she did last year or 2 years ago. She was a senator in 2011 to 2016, nominated by Enda Kenny. She came on board with Enda Kenny in 2016, and he made her minister for Children and Human Rights Commission. She made the job for herself, so it's jobs for the boys. And again, Niall, as I say, a politician, the only time a politician would surprise me is if they came in that door with Lord Lucan riding Shergar with Elvis on the back, because they're fit for anything.
Okay, but this is not unusual, as we know.
But it's not acceptable, Niall.
Misquote Tom Jones. I mean, this sort of thing goes on all the time.
It shouldn't go on, Niall. Due process?
On a lesser scale, don't we have political appointments to something like prison visiting committees and so forth?
Yeah, another racket. I mean, if you want to start talking about that, Niall, about jobs for the boys, I was looking there just when I knew I was coming on. You have Micheál Martin has 6 special advisors. Leo Varadkar has 6 special advisors. Ryan has 8 special advisors. It's costing the country €4.5 million for to have these people there. What's the civil servants doing? So it is. The country is on its knees with this COVID. And here you have this woman that's going to come from, she's not even living in Ireland. So no disrespect, if she was living in Ireland, you'd say one thing, but she's not, she's coming from America. So at the end of the day, what's her qualifications? Who appointed the job? And who, what was the process of getting the job? That's where I'm coming from.
And it's the process, I think, a lot of people, I didn't realise Eamon Ryan had 8 special advisors. Has he, Leslie? I don't know.
I don't know the number of advisors, but I do know that, you know, strategically, we've worked very hard to make sure that the policies that we want to enact, and bear in mind that on the programme for government at the moment, although we only have about 10% of the overall vote, we have 26% of the programme for government, and we want to make sure that that programme is implemented. And I have to say we're very proud of the fact that the climate emergency bill was actually, you know, passed and signed by Michael D. Higgins during the course of the week. So from that point of view, we've learned from the mistakes in the past. We're not going to be rolled over, you know, as we were in the past. And we've put people in place, including into the Department of the Taoiseach, who are actually going to make sure that the policies that we actually were elected for are going to be implemented.
Okay, well, that's fighting talk, I can tell you, from you this morning. Right, lots of texts in already, which I'll come to in a moment. Can I ask you very quickly, we hadn't planned to talk about this, but it has emerged this morning, as you heard earlier. Bishop Kevin Dorn, Bishop of Elphin, has written an article in the Irish Independent this morning saying that he's going to proceed, and the diocese is going to proceed with confirmation and communion ceremonies, regardless of the government restrictions and COVID regulations. What do you make of that, Kieran, or have you any opinions at all? Is he right to do this or not?
Well, we're all supposed to go by NPHET and we're supposed to go by the Health Regulatory Authority and the whole lot. The only thing I would worry about, Niall, is if one person gets COVID from the communion or the confirmation and the day, is it on his hands? You know, so I mean, in that respect, I would be doing what I'm told to do when it makes sense.
Yeah.
But these people can wait another year and get their confirmation in Holy Communion. So, you know, isn't it better to be safe than sorry? That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. Leslie, any thoughts on what the bishop said?
Yeah, to a certain extent I agree with Kieran, but I have had a personal family situation like last weekend where my youngest daughter, her youngest daughter's child was baptised. Now, none of us were invited to it, and that was fine with me in the sense that, you know, it was the actual ceremony itself that was the most important thing for my daughter and her husband. So from that point of view, you know, I think there is, you know, room for common sense in all of this. I think the thing that would really concern me is the kind of the celebrations afterwards. And, you know, we've had situations where the likes of weddings and that are super spreader events. Funerals, unfortunately, you know, you just have to look at Killarney and, you know, what's happened in the last few weeks and that. Yeah. So I would be more, I've no problem with the sacraments whatsoever. It's the actual afters that I would be concerned
and
about.
And I think that's the government's concern as well, as what happens after the ceremonies. Lots of people texting in particular to what you were saying about Mother Teresa and Catherine Zappone. And just to clarify, you weren't making a comparison, isn't that right?
No, I wasn't. But nevertheless, I just feel, and I, you know, I hear what Kieran is saying, but at the same time, no, she's not based in this country as such, as far as I know. But the role is actually like an ambassador. And our ambassadors are not based in this country. So if she's going to do a decent job in the UN, and I'm sure she will, and as I repeat again, with the Biden administration, then, you know, she should be where the action is.
Right, OK. And lots of opinions again coming forward this morning on the Catherine Zappone situation. We've been, again, covering issues of dumping at beaches. Last week we know how packed our beaches were and scenic areas and so forth, and these problems always seem to come to the fore when we have a stretch of good weather. Kieran, have you come across it? Have you been out walking? Have you seen any littering or people leaving
rubbish behind them? No, I keep away from the likes of Ross's Point, Strand Hill, Mullaghmore, Inniscrone. I keep away from all them places. The only thing is that if there's no place, that I hear your programme there all week about camper vans.
Yeah.
Surely the county council or the corporation has an obligation for bins and to make sure these people are looked after. And there's also different car park or different caravan parks and stuff like that around the place. But I can't understand, you know, we're supposed to be welcoming people to our area. And yet there's nothing but day after day after day giving out about they're leaving their rubbish and they're doing this and they're doing whatever else they're doing. But surely we can employ somebody to go around these places maybe once a day or twice a day, clean the toilets, get rid of the rubbish, and make sure that people are parked where they're supposed to be parked. What's the big issue that we can't? That's my problem. But I mean, people should not be leaving their rubbish. And if they are caught, they should be fined, and well fined. So they should. But at the end of the day, we're welcoming people here. We're saying, yeah, you're welcome, but you're not allowed to bring your rubbish. I know if I was in Spain or Portugal or anywhere like that and I went to the beach, I wouldn't be leaving my rubbish there. So I don't see why it should be any different here in this country.
Yeah. So it's enforcement is the key.
If you know you're going to get a €1,000 fine or a €500 fine for dumping rubbish, happy days. You know, yeah. You won't do it. But then we should have the facilities for them that they could be able to dump their rubbish.
Okay, Leslie, I'm sure you have strong opinions on this issue. And you're from a very scenic tourism area as well, of course.
Yeah, and I think the likes of Waterways Ireland have done an incredible job in terms of ensuring that, for example, the harbours along the Shannon and that are actually, policed, that they also have CCTV, the air conditioning here, I'm about to sneeze. But anyway, right. What I was going to say
was... Is it too high or too cold?
I don't know what, but one way or another. What I was going to say was that, they have CCTV and they also have a very stringent fines situation. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that the likes of various voluntary groups and, you know, which also have a lot of Green members and whatever, that are out picking litter, you know, on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons, that they're going to actually clean up after everybody. It's time for, you know, the county councils to put on their big boy pants and literally, you know, enforce, as Kieran has said, the legislation that's already there, but equally to stick up a few CCTV cameras.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the camper van situation? I know you've talked before about the stag and hen parties in Carrick and Shannon and maybe, you know, only a certain aspect of visitors are acceptable to a town. What camper vans, motor homes, do you have any difficulty with?
Absolutely not. I think the issue there is that we're playing catch up compared to continental Europe where, you know, if you rock into a place in France or wherever, you know, you'll be well catered for by the local authority and that, and they will have dedicated spots where you're only paying about a tenner a night or whatever for decent infrastructure. And, you know, in fairness, I look at Ockra's Head and that, at the beach bar, that direction, they're actually well set up for that sort of thing. And I think, you know, we need to just replicate that and actually catch up on that whole issue.
0711 911 8104 is our number to call this morning. You can text or WhatsApp to 083 3500 F530. One person has sent us in the past few minutes a copy of a tweet that Catherine Zappone came up with, 6 years ago. And this is a tweet she sent back in 2015. And she says, "The practice of appointments to state boards made with a nod or a wink has no place in open modern democracy and could damage economic recovery." There you go. I don't know if that's a contradiction in terms of what's happened. Remember, she lobbied for the position. I want to ask
Can I just say that this whole issue in relation to Catherine Zappone is actually being stirred up. This is the old story of the row is never about what the row is about. The row is about an internal situation in Fianna Fáil where they're trying to get rid of the leader, they're trying to discredit him, and they're using an awful lot of oxygen.
I don't think it's that.
Well, let me put it this way. You have, you know, the
family dynasties. What about leaving politics aside? What about the public outrage? Because there is outrage over this.
Okay, but the actual spotlight of this has been shone by the likes of, you know, the family dynasties of the Cowans and the McSharries and the Healy Rays, you know, where they're actually trying to discredit, you know, the Taoiseach of the day at the moment. And I think an awful lot of hot air is actually happening as a result of that.
Right, okay. I want to ask you both about climate change, and I don't know where to start on this because we covered a story earlier in the week, and I don't know if you're sea swimmers or not, but there is a huge amount of jellyfish in our waters off the northwest coast of late. And Pete Murter from Sligo County Council was on with us during the week to say that the reason for this is climate change. That has caused this to happen. And a lot of people poo-pooing this, saying, oh, those jellyfish have always been there in huge numbers at this time of year. And then we've had severe weather conditions, not only here, but of course in Canada and in Germany. And I thought it was very, very interesting last week to see the head of news in RTE acknowledging that RTE in its reporting of weather now needs to include the aspect of climate change. And he actually apologised for not having that included in last week's various reports on our heatwave, which I thought was very, very interesting. Kieran, any views on climate change and be it jellyfish or flooding or heatwaves here?
The only thing, Niall, is when you talk about climate change, there's the top 100 companies in the world produce 70% of the pollution in the world. I mean, if you go back, we just take countries for example. You have China, United States, India, Russia, Japan, Germany, Iran, South Korea. They're all in the top 10 of pollution countries. And not one of them pays 1 cent per tax for pollution in respect of we're actually asked to pay extra money here for a bag of coal. These countries aren't. The same with the top 100 companies. So climate change, yes, we should be doing something about it. But you look at that man that headed off up to space there, the Amazon man.
Bezos.
Yeah, he was there and he was saying he has so many thousands of electric lorries and vans and stuff like that. And yet he headed off up into space and it cost $550 million per minute that he was above in space. And here he's telling us, buy off me, I'm good for the climate change. I have electric vans. And here he's off above in space himself. So it's don't do as I do as I say. But that's what it's costing him per minute. He was 10 minutes in space. $550 million is what it cost. So there it is again, where climate change. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that they come out with, but there's some of the stuff I do agree with. The flooding and everything else. But then again, it should be, you know, we say the likes of Ross's Point, Strand Hill, where you have the erosion and everything else. They should be doing better than that. But we know that for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know,
well, if there are any lingering doubts, and there are, I suppose, some, Leslie, in relation to climate change and its effects, did you read that about the RT head of news? I thought it was very interesting that they have to have this climate change sort of aspect in reporting weather in future.
Yeah, no, I actually took on one of the reports actually because somebody, an RTE producer, talked about that, you know, the flooding in Germany, which, you know, was really appalling. 170 yeah. people died in a really well-developed country in the middle of Europe. It just shows you the shocking nature of all of this and what it actually could become and what it has become. But, you know, and she was talking about that it was once in a generation situation. It's not once in a generation. Mm. It's the worst that we've ever had.
Yeah.
And like, just to bring it down to local issues, and you know, Kieran has mentioned the, you know, the beaches and the fact that all of our beaches along Sligo at the moment are actually, because of the heating and cooling temperatures out in the ocean or whatever, this is what's causing the great wind effects, and that in turn is causing the erosion. So unless we got that under control, you know, we're just fighting a losing battle. But and you have the tar melting on the road, but from my point of view, and I'm involved in solar energy, just to bring it into local situations again, it's been a win-win for me this week on the last 2 weeks, because the amount of wives who've actually said to their husbands, we're not getting another toy for the farm. I'm not going to continue to light the fire in 30 degrees of so that you can have hot water. I want solar. And we've been inundated with people actually ordering solar systems.
Is that something that will continue on, you think, or is it?
Yeah, no, very much. And there will be new grants and there will be new tariffs whereby people will be rewarded for what they produce themselves and sell back to the grid, and that's happening before the end of the year.
And I know you won't say otherwise, but is it cost-effective, can you tell us? Or not?
You certainly get a payback in 6 to 7 years, but tell me what's cost-effective about a woman having to stoke a fire like, you know, a fire tender on the Titanic, you know, in the middle of July with 30 degrees of heat.
Yeah, some people like to stoke fires no matter what time of the year it is, and we were told a couple of months ago by the Irish Heart Foundation that we shouldn't be lighting fires at all. Are you a solar power energy man, Kieran?
I don't. I mean, when you're going back there about the different fuels and stuff like that, they're telling us here not to use, we can't make peat briquettes anymore in Ireland, but yet we can bring them in from Germany. You know, so I mean, the Irish government, I take everything with a pinch of salt. Believe half of what you read with and respect, less of what you hear.
No, with respect, you can get eco briquettes from Arigna. And if your local supplier and your local retailer was switched on, they can actually order local eco briquettes, which are manufactured by 50 people working in Arigna.
And how many jobs did they lose in Bordenamona?
Well, Bordenamona is a different issue. You've got to bear in mind that what is turf? Turf is rotting vegetation.
But they're telling us to use turf. We've done it for hundreds of years, thousands of years.
Not only that, and how many years does it take to actually grow?
Millions of years.
Great. Yeah. And how many seconds does it take to burn?
A half an hour, an hour.
And
well, what are you going to tell
can
people?
Can you replace it?
Can you replace what?
Can you replace the turf?
No,
can you grow it again?
But it's there. It's there. It's natural.
But
we've been doing it for hundreds and thousands of years.
Yeah, but we've launched a campaign to actually have 750 jobs in the Midlands, and that was launched within the last two weeks.
Doing what?
Doing all sorts of green energy projects.
And let the ordinary Joe Soap pay for it. That's the problem there.
They're already subsidising our fossil fuel industry.
Well, I tell you, they're all on the ball this morning, and they're enjoying the banter and the discussion. And someone says, "Niall, a woman stoking a fire. What about a man stoking a fire?" Well, that's my fault. I think I said a woman, maybe not, but obviously there was no insult intended. And someone says, "Niall, you may turn that down that air conditioning, or the Greens will put a tax on it as well, like everything else." And someone else says, "The only hot air is coming from your panellist this morning. Clearly, he's supporting jobs for the boys. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink." Right, okay. Let's lighten it a bit and talk about the Olympics. Are you watching the Olympics, Kieran, or not?
I watch it, Niall, when there's an Irish competitor, but otherwise, no, I wouldn't have a lot of interest.
Yeah.
The reason being is, no fans, the Russians aren't there as such, and they are one of the top competitors in the world. I'd probably watch it more when it comes to track and field.
Which started last night.
Yeah, and I have to say to that McSharry girl, fair play. If she never done another thing, she's still an Olympian, and credit where credit is due. But the same with all the competitors.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say fair play and well done. Like, it's dedication, and a lot of people give credit to the girl, she done what she done.
Okay, so you're dipping in and out only when the Irish.
Only
are,
when the Irish
involved.
Is there. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother.
What about you, Leslie? You an Olympic fan?
I think it's fantastic that the Irish are doing so well, and I think it's it's a testament to the fact that if you put money and dedication behind sports, and Catherine Martin is doing a fantastic job in relation to that at the moment. I think she's holidaying actually in the Sligo area.
Is she?
Yeah, you might be able to catch her for a minute or two.
It'd be great if she had time.
Yeah, but one way or another,
we must chat with you after about that and see if we can organise something.
But equally,
Jesus, we had Leo Varadkar here last week, and now we have Catherine Martin. So we're missing now is Micheál Martin
or Catherine the Zappone. Yeah,
but
one way or another, we're in a situation whereby I'm absolutely delighted from a broader perspective, and that is that it certainly proves that if you put money and infrastructure into sport, then young people are doing the right thing, and you know, it gets them out of other situations. Not that I'm saying that the Olympians are actually in need of it, but what I'm trying to say is that society in general, and this has been proven in other countries, particularly in Finland and in Iceland, that if you put a lot of attention and a lot of money and a lot of infrastructure into support, it's brilliant for people's mental health and all that goes with that.
Yeah, how bad, as they say. Right, okay. Indoor, outdoor dining. Kieran, do you mind me asking you, have you been out and about? Have you been?
I had one meal out, myself and my partner, my sister and her husband. Went out for a meal to one of the local...
Inside or outside?
Outside.
How did you find that?
Found it great. It was great to get out, Niall. It was great to get out of the house. I'll probably wait another while before I head out, let the madness settle down, and then I'll probably go out a little bit more.
I think a lot of people are of that mind. There was a feeling... Well, I don't know if there was a feeling. Indoor dining resumed last Monday. I don't think we got the influx that some people had expected. There is a cautiousness out there, isn't there?
Well, you can't blame people, Niall. This is unprecedented. We don't know what we're dealing with. And I mean, I wouldn't take the chance no more than the bishop. He's saying, yeah, he's going to go ahead with the sacraments. It's a hard one to call. I personally would not go out, because at the end of the day, it's my health. I'm responsible for my health. And if somebody, other people want to take the chance, there's other people will, no matter what to do, they'll head off and do their own thing. If they want to do that, let them belt away. I wouldn't hold against them.
Yeah. Leslie, what about yourself? Have you been out and about, or do you like to go out and about? You like a nice meal?
Yeah, I have indeed. And not only that, but I mean, you know, I work in and around the, you know, the Northwest and whatever. So, you know, try to get lunch from time to time or whatever. But at the same time, I'm using common sense to the extent that, you know, if I see a place and it's really full, and if there's no or little ventilation or whatever, and I've come across one or two of those places, I won't go in. I'll just stay away from it. Mm. And there are fantastic places now that have developed infrastructure. And, you know, according to John Wilmot's weather forecast, it looks as though we will have really good sunny afternoons for the rest of this week.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, I actually welcome, you know, being out. Yeah, the one downside I see for all of this is our surfing tutors, because they have said that they're going to witness a further downturn in their actual clients, because with the lack of European clients for surfing, the Irish clients are concerned that it will eat into their drink money to actually pay them for surfing lessons. And therein lies another debate.
Yeah. We've talked to you before about that. You feel we have a serious problem in this country with alcohol.
Well, the way I look upon it, I think we're going to
see... Or rather, the culture around alcohol.
Yeah, the culture. I actually think that we're going to see a united Ireland in, you know, on this island before we'll have a healthy attitude towards alcohol. I actually think that we've got decades of work to do on this whole issue. And at the moment, yeah, we're just living in some sort of haze. But I mean, look, I don't want to deflect from the fact that things are actually, you know, on the up at the moment and people are getting out and about. But again, I think it's common sense.
Right, OK. And we've got a couple of minutes left, and it's cropped up here and there throughout the conversation. The government is, what, a year and 2 months in office. I don't suppose you're impressed, Ciarán. Maybe you are with the government's performance so far and of the leadership of the country of Micheál Martin, or not?
Well, impressed, Niall, no. I mean, between the two of them, they're 100 years in government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and the country is in a state as it is. I mean, when you see the likes of Micheál Martin having 6 advisors, Leo Varadkar another 6 advisors, and Ryan having 8 advisors, I mean, you know, the country is in a state. But anyways, no, I don't think they've done a good job. They'd be at the opening of an envelope, a politician. I mean, you know, when you go to Dublin, you're supposed to be, you know, your local politics, you're supposed to be for everybody, but yet these seem to be for the big business. I mean, the banks don't pay tax, the vulture funds don't pay tax, NAMA, another shower. It all affects the ordinary Joe Soap, the ordinary Joe Soap. But Leo Varadkar got in there. He was lucky to be voted in. I think it was the 6th count. Micheál Martin was the same. He came out and says to the people of Ireland, I will not be going into government with Fine Gael. What was the first thing he done when he got in up there? Anything but Sinn Féin. And I'm not... Sinn Féin is the same. They're all the same. I don't differentiate between any of them. But he did not... He's not a truthful man. So he's not. Because he did say it on the front steps, he would not be going into power with Fine Gael. The first thing he done was into power with Fine Gael.
Okay, well, this text came in before you came on. It says, please don't allow Ciarán to constantly moan and give out about the government and blame them for everything. I suppose he'll be blaming them because it's raining today as well. Ask him why he doesn't stand for election besides hurling in the ditch.
Well, the reason I don't stand is because I don't put myself out there for it. I'm not a money merchant. And I have been asked by 2 different parties to run, and the answer is no, and it will be no. And 2 wrongs never made a right, no more than the Catherine Zapona thing. I would not go, Niall.
Right, OK.
I would not go for it because I wouldn't toe the line.
All right, OK. Leslie, are you, notwithstanding the fact that your own party is one of the coalition partners, you think the government has done a good job or not?
I think there's an awful lot of stuff going on that we're not actually seeing the benefits of yet, and there's been an incredible amount of work which has been done on the you know, in the background, so to speak, that we'll actually see the light of day over the course of the next few months and indeed the next few years. Because bear in mind, you know, we've had, you know, the government came in literally in the middle of a pandemic. Yep. They had to deal with the pandemic stuff. They had to deal with the Brexit stuff. They had to deal with the Northern stuff as a result of Brexit. And, you know, despite that, you know, there's an awful lot of things in the track. The thing that I think I'm most impressed about, quite apart from the climate change bill, is the actual emphasis on the constitutional right to a home. And that is actually going to happen, and is more than likely going to happen next year. And that's a key thing, that, you know, everybody in this country will be able to have a constitutional right in the home. And I have to say, in fairness to Eamon Ryan, it was Eamon Ryan that made sure that that actually got into the programme for government. So from that point of view, that is a game changer.
Okay, and all well within the Green Party after the apparent splits. Are you on the Eamon Ryan or Catherine Martin wing of the party, Leslie?
I'm on neither. I'm my own man at the end of the day. I can assure you, Eamon is not sending me any birthday cards. I can assure you that. You know, I'll call it as I see it. But having said that, we're a very demographic party. I know that poor Mark is talking about the fact that, you know, nobody in Fianna Fáil sets up policies, you know, that the whole thing is kind of dreamt up on the back of an envelope or whatever, and it's all dictatorial. We're, you know, the opposite end of that, you know. And I would actually say, and thinking about this morning, that ordinary Green Party members have had more influence on actually what has happened in government policy than the elected representatives here over the last year and a half.
Right, OK, well, that's a bold statement indeed. A couple of minutes left, and just time to ask each of you, first to you, Kieran, about a bank holiday weekend. What do you like to do in a bank holiday weekend? Do you have any particular plans?
Chill, just chill. That's it, mate. Yeah, chill out. End of the day.
Right. Well, you have to
go for a walk or chill out.
An hour of being questioned isn't a good start to it.
Chill
out.
Well, no, I'll chill out. No, I don't take anything to heart. I'll chill out, Niall. Go for a walk, two dogs, bits and pieces like that. Clean the house and tip about.
And that keeps you happy.
Thank you. Well, it does, yeah. I'm simple.
Leslie, what about you? Any particular plans for this weekend or any weekend?
It'll definitely be the beach. Definitely be the beach.
Which beach do you like to go to?
I love to go to Ocras, I have to say. Ocras Head. I think it's fantastic. It's the type of place also that, you know, it's busy, but it's not crowded. It's you know, the dog can have a fair scope there and all that sort of stuff. And I love that part of the world. They say that from Eastgay onwards and whatever is the new Northern California of Europe. And I would like to think that that's going to be the case.
Right, OK. Well, if it were the case, that would be just absolutely fantastic. Are you positive, Kieran, finally? I mean, I think Tony Holland in his press conference this week was a little bit more positive in relation to reopening.
My feelings on Tony Holland.
Yeah, I do. You haven't changed them, have you?
No, I haven't changed. What he done with the cancer services, or the cervical cancer, was a disgrace.
Yeah. But you don't feel like you're heading into an autumn or winter of discontent again, do you think? Is there more hope now?
I'll just say this to Leslie. The Green Party will be wiped out the next election, no more than when Labour was when they were in there as well with different ones.
You better tell that to the 600% increase in our membership.
Yeah, but that was because you're propping up the government.
I take it the Green Party wasn't one of the parties that approached you, so, Kieran, was it?
No. The only thing is, Niall, it's unprecedented what we're facing, and we will come through it. Let people have faith in it, but everyone is responsible for their own health, so they are. I mean, the hospitals, you look at the hospitals yesterday in Sligo, you know, it's full to the hilt, people waiting on it. But we will get through it now. But let people have faith and let people take time.
Okay. What about you, Leslie? Are you more hopeful now maybe than you have been in the past few months?
I know I am. And I think, you know, speaking of the hospitals, one thing I forgot to mention is the fact that, you know, the whole issue of Sláintecare care is continuing to actually roll ahead in the background. And I'm delighted to see that Paul Reid, who lives in Carrig on Shannon, is, you know, is really pushing that as well, despite all the stuff he has on his plate with COVID. And can I just talk about the hospital overcrowding for a minute?
Yeah.
The hospital overcrowding is as a result of the lack of community care infrastructure. And 20% of the people that I've seen in Sligo Hospital, up close and personal, shouldn't be there in the first place. Yeah. They should be treated in the community. It's an acute hospital. An acute hospital should be a hospital of last resort, not the first place you put somebody.
Yeah. And we had Dr. McSweeney on the show yesterday, consultant in emergency medicine, and he made exactly the same point.
Well, can I just come in there, Niall? Mm. The only thing is, private patients should be not be treated in public hospitals, for starters, right? And also, it's due to neglect that the hospitals are gone the way they are. And that has been Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael the last 100 years. So it is. So, I mean, things is not... We've had pandemics, the flu and everything else back years and years ago. I mean, it's not just because of the COVID. It's not just because of Brexit. It's not just because of this, that and the other. The government are in there to line their own pockets and to get out and to get into the Shannon, and that's the end of it. Okay. Or the Guaf.
Well, you're getting away with absolutely nothing this morning. Someone wants us to point out, is it illegal to let your dog off the leash on the beach? I don't think you said you're going
is.
To... Yeah.
In Ross's point, after 10 o'clock in the morning, it's illegal to let your dog off the leash.
And somebody else says, it's good to hear Leslie adding to the climate change problem, driving from Leitrim to a beach in County Sligo.
Well, we will shortly have our beach up and running in Leitrim, because Leitrim County Council have recently, just in the last week, spoke about developing the area up around Tullahan.